we're looking at this issue of what is God like. And I don't know of a better place in the Bible to turn than Psalm 139, and I would like you to turn there. Psalm 139, it's on page 472 in that pew Bible. If you didn't bring one, I'd encourage you to grab one. Because we want to hear from God, and we do every time we open the book. And this particular psalm says so much. I'd like us to stand in honor of God and His Word. Lord, as we turn now to You, we do need to know You. You've said the people who know You will display strength. We find our hope, our joy, our real strength in You. So I pray right now that You'd give us ears to hear. I thank You for this self-revelation, this book that You've written. And most of all, we thank You for the centerpiece of this book, Your Son Jesus, the image of the invisible God. And so we pray that right now and throughout this week and this month, as we celebrate Your Son, that You would, with Your Holy Spirit, focus us on Jesus. We pray in His name, the name above every other name, the name that encourages us that You save. Amen. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou dost know when I sit down and when I rise up. Thou dost understand my thought from afar. Thou dost scrutinize my path and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, Thou dost know it all. Thou hast enclosed me behind and before, and laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from Thy Spirit? Or where can I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there Thy hand will lead me, and Thy right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to Thee, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to Thee. For Thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from Thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in Thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Oh, that Thou would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed, for they speak against Thee wickedly, and Thine enemies take Thy name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate Thee, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against Thee? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me. And lead me in the everlasting way. You can be seated. What is God like? God is omniscient. He knows all things. All knowledge. Omni. All. Science. Knowledge. He knows everything. He is omniscient. He knows. Look at the first line of the psalm. He knows me. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. In every one of these perfections of God, we've seen right away that what we learn about God applies to us. He knows not just everything, he knows me. I want to personalize it immediately, just like the psalmist does. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The author of Hebrews writes in chapter 4, verse 13. There's no creature hidden from his sight. That either brings dread to you right now or comfort. One or the other. If he knows you and if he sees everything about you and you are in rebellion against him, it brings dread. But if you know him, if you found him to be the God of love and mercy who provided a Savior for you, to know that he knows you, there's no surprises. He knew what he was getting when he sent his Son to this world to die for you and me. To say that he searched me and known me, the psalmist relaxes in it, takes great comfort in it, and I hope you do too. But ultimately, it's one or the other. Either you enjoy this or this threatens you, because the knowledge that God has of everything, and ourselves included, is such an awesome thought. Now, he knows everything. Last time we looked at his omnipresence. Today we want to look at his omniscience. Next week, his omnipotence. But, you know, just saying the words, they're kind of like omni this, omni that. Which one was it again? He knows everything about us. Let me kind of just have us stop and think about it. He knows everyone. He knows the future, no less than the past. There's no one like thee, Isaiah said, who can tell the end from the beginning. He's not waiting to find out. He never learns anything. Do you ever think of that? He's not waiting to be informed as the future unfolds. He knows the future no less than the past. He knows actual history, and he knows potential history. Woe to you, Chorazin, Jesus said in Bethsaida. If the miracles had occurred in you, that have occurred in you, had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. Woe to you, Capernaum, where he'd done so many of his miracles. He said, if Sodom had seen what you've seen, they'd still be here today. And by the way, when Jesus Christ says those things, he ties it, and this is one of the many, many things that just kind of fall off these attributes of God as you stop and think about them. I picture it like a load of stuff, just blessings falling from it. He says, he'll judge righteously. He says, in the judgment, it will be more tolerable for this city than that city. And you can be sure today, when you know the God who knows all, that he will be absolutely righteous in his judgment. It's a direct fruit of his omniscience. He doesn't forget, oh yeah, I forgot that person didn't know. No, he knows everything. He knows actual history as well as potential history. Remember David in 1 Samuel 23, David was being hounded by Saul, and he had gone to this city, Keilah, and he besought the Lord because the rumor had it that Saul was coming with his army to town. And David said, is he coming? And will these people turn, will they surrender me to Saul? And the Lord said, twice it says, the Lord said, Saul will come. And yes, they will surrender you. So David did the wise thing. He got out of there. He left town. Saul didn't come. They didn't surrender him. Of course, God knew that. But he can tell you what he knows. He knows all the options. He knows everything. Now, having said that, every perfection of God, we've been noticing this, and but I've been struck by that even as I just mull over these aspects of God's character, to find it always stated, God alone knows everything. God alone is holy. Every attribute of God, we're driven to this truth that God alone knows everything. Thou alone dost know the hearts of all men, Solomon prayed in 1 Kings 8:29. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning. So in each case, we've seen that God is unique. That's why we can't give analogies. That's why we ought not make images of God. God isn't like this or like that. The only image of the invisible God is when God came to earth. And we celebrate, and we can't make too much of the event. The Word became flesh. But He alone. And of course, that leads me to the other thing we've seen every week. Jesus Christ is omniscient. Peter, when he was being restored, remember, he said, Lord, you know all things. Was he right? Yeah. See, God never needs to be informed. Whenever he asks a question, Jesus asked a lot of questions, but he never asked questions to try to find something out that he didn't know. His questions were to show us, were to teach us. Do you love me, Peter? He knew whether Peter loved him or not. Lord, you know all things, he said the third time. And he was right. He was right. John, listen to the Gospel of John. You can look at it if you want to, chapter 2, the end, the last couple of verses. But I'm thinking of these disciples that knew the Lord Jesus so well. Peter said, Lord, you know all things. And here's what John writes at the end of chapter 2 of his gospel. When he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name, beholding his signs which he was doing. Many were starting to believe in his name, kind of like it is today. A lot of people give lip service to him. They see signs he's done or whatever. But Jesus, verse 24 says, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men. And because he didn't need anyone to bear witness concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man. When we say God is omniscient, God alone is omniscient, and Jesus Christ knows all things. He knows all men. He doesn't ever have to say, I wonder what Scott's thinking. Or I wonder what Scott would do in this situation. He knows all about me. He knows all about you. He knows us. Now, the Bible, this isn't tangential. This isn't over here in the corner somewhere. No matter how many are saying, and I have to tell you, as I told you last week, that many, and you're hearing them, who go under the cloak of evangelicalism are saying, well, these are non-essential things. And we have a more open view of God. We call it open theism. And many are denying these very attributes of God and saying, well, let's be united on the essentials and we'll have differences on the non-essentials. This is essential. This is who God is. I don't know how you can be more central than these things the Bible asserts. And I want us to see, this isn't like, oh, we found it over in one place here and one place there. The Bible writers, the sacred writers whom God inspired, they celebrated this and enjoyed this omniscience of God all throughout the Scripture. Job, the most ancient writing we have, perhaps, one of the patriarchs. Job asserted in chapter 26, naked is Sheol before him, and Abaddon has no covering. And then he admitted later in that chapter, he said, this is just the fringe of his ways. This is just the fringe of his ways. But he sees everything. He can see into hell. He knows all things. Daniel, who went through so many regime changes, He saw the upheaval of the political world, and he was right in the midst of it. He's right there in Babylon. He rested when it came to governmental leaders, regime change, the headlines that might cause you and I to freeze up and get nervous. Daniel said, it is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and he establishes kings. Daniel 2:21. Solomon taught with real wisdom that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. Proverbs 15:3. Don't ever think he doesn't know or see. He does. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. You are the Lord Elroy, God who sees, Genesis 16 says. When we first looked at God as he began to reveal himself in the early weeks of this study, when he said, I am that I am, he was the God who what? Saw their situation, heard their cry, knew their dilemma, and acted to save. Now God knows, God sees. Solomon goes on and kind of echoing Job says, Sheol and Abaddon lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of men? You think you got something hidden down your heart that he didn't know about? You think you can indulge some thoughts that he doesn't know? How fearful would it be, and sometimes how fearful it is, when someone close to you can almost read your mind? I know what you're thinking, and they're right. And you go, whoa. That's the way it is with God at all times, 24/7. He knows all about us. Paul saw this as central to the gospel when he wrote in Romans, on the day when, according to my gospel, that's an amazing statement, Romans 2:16, on the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. Wow. He knows our secrets. And the gospel teaches that we're accountable for our secrets. John wrote in 1 John 3:20, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. James says, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow, but he does. He even knows your motives. You ask and you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives. Oh, he knows everything. Moses, writing under the inspiration of God, told us that way back at the days of Noah, God knew every intent of the thought of man's heart. He still does today. He's not wondering what we're planning or what the intent of our thoughts are. He knows. He knows. Turn to Psalm 33. Keep your finger here. We're going to look back at this 139th, but I want you to just look at Psalm 33. The Lord looks from heaven. And by the way, when the Bible uses this language of his eyes moving to and fro, him seeing, him looking, it's anthropomorphic language. God doesn't need to see in the sense that we do. He knows. But the Bible puts it in language we can get hold of. So he wants us to know that his knowledge isn't distant. It is personal. It's not detached. It's involved. He knows. He sees. So Psalm 33, verse 13, the Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From his dwelling place, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all. He who understands all their works. I'll tell you, I mean, we could spend the rest of the morning easily just citing more and more. But our Lord Jesus Christ often said these things to teach, to clarify, to convict, to comfort. When you pray, he said, your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask him. Somebody says, well, then you don't need to pray. That's how he introduced what we call the Lord's Prayer that has been prayed by believers ever since. Oh, he said, pray. And remember, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. It's a foundation for prayer. We can pour out our heart to him because he knows our situation. Luke 12, verse 2, there's nothing covered up that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known, Jesus Christ said. Accordingly, whatever you've said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you've whispered in the inner room shall be proclaimed upon the housetops." Well, I thought it was a private email I sent. No. How many times do we see that? You know, people say, I didn't think that would ever come out. It came out. If that's true in the affairs of men, you can be sure that when Jesus Christ says, God's got it all down, He knows. He knows. I'll tell you, it convicts, and Jesus let it convict. It also comforts. He said, you know, two sparrows are sold for a cent, right? Not one sparrow drops to the ground, but what your Father knows. And you're of much more value than sparrows. In fact, He's got what? The hairs of your head numbered. Do you think about that? Does God know about you? He knows how many hairs are on your head. Oh, He knows. He knows. No matter what someone says about this being just kind of a side issue, don't believe them. Now, what we think about God, what we know about God, we know from His Word. And it's so important that we hold to it. Now, if you look at this 139th Psalm, I said last week, probably not a better statement of His omnipresence, that He is present. He is present to bless. He is present to judge. You will never be apart from Him, Christian. He is always there for you. We could rejoice in His omnipresence. Same thing when I come to His omniscience. Where can I go in Scripture in a better way than this one? And so I want to just glance at it with you. Oh Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. You see, His search engine, again, he doesn't have to, I wonder what's going on. No, it's instant and it's infinite. He knows. We're pretty impressed, and we ought to be, that you can just click and this amazing electronic search and sorting that goes on. That's just a little picture of the Infinite One who knows everything. Go ahead and Google how many hairs are on your head. See what you find. You know? I mean, it's amazing what you can Google, but it ain't going to happen. It'll say, I don't know what it'll say. I'll try that. But God knows. God knows everything about us. He never has to look, even though He uses this language to help us see. He has searched me and known me. Thou dost know when I sit down. He knows when I'm hanging out. He knows my casual time. He knows what I watch on TV. He knows what you like to spend your money on. He knows when you have time to just sit down. You know, He knows you're sitting down. And He knows you're rising up. He knows how you attack a new week. He knows how I respond, how I rise up when a situation occurs that isn't what my liking. He knows everything about me. He knows, look at verse 2. Thou dost know when I sit down, when I rise up. Thou dost understand my thought from afar. Again, I repeat it. To know that He knows my thoughts. I don't know of a more sobering truth. And on the one hand, if I come to God unwashed, and I purposely speak this way, I could say, you're either a believer or an unbeliever here today. But I'm not talking about assent or, you know, kind of a saying, well, I believe in God, that's why I'm worshiping today. I'm talking about you're either unwashed or you've been washed in the blood as we come around the table. You see, the issue is, have you responded to Jesus Christ? And depending on the unwashed one, when he hears that he knows my thoughts before I even think them, it's dread. But when I read it, when a blood-washed believer reads it, thou dost understand my thought from afar. He knew who I was when he sent his son to die for me. He knew what he was getting. There are no what-ifs with God. He knew all about me. And he loved me. There's no skeletons in my closet. that he didn't know all about. There's no such thing. I hope he didn't find out about that. He knew all about it. When he said, I love you, and here's the proof of my love, God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were ungodly and helpless, oh, I'm telling you today, when we celebrate the cross, we celebrate one who knew all about you and sent his son to die for you. Who is first given to him that it might be paid back to him? Who has informed him, Paul writes? Nobody. He never learns anything. He knew all about it when he sent his son to die for you. I'll tell you, it gives great comfort. It gives great openness. It gives intimacy. You know, the deepening of your love in marriage as you let the bars down and share your very heart, that's the kind of intimacy that we can have to the nth degree with God because he knows. I don't have to hide anything from him. And when he learns, he doesn't learn. It's not like marriage. What about when she learns what I'm really like? Crisis. Oftentimes, that's when a marriage is. You start to find out what this guy's really like that you married, or what she's really like, this wife of yours. And you have to go through adjustments and tension. With God, he knows. He knows. And he sent his son to die for me. Look at verse 3. Thou dost scrutinize my path. The thought is he winnows. He sorts through it in the way that he knows. Look at all the verbs here. Understand, scrutinize, know, search, intimately acquainted. Even before there's a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, thou dost know it all. He knows long before I can even form my thought, let alone my words. He knows all about it. Thou hast enclosed me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. No wonder the psalmist says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I can't even get my arms around it. It's too high. It's beyond me. It's incomprehensible. But he rejoices in it. Look at verse 16. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Oh, Christian, when we come around the table, he says, we remember his death. We proclaim his death until he comes. Okay? God is the God of history. He knows all. And there are no surprises. He's got our days numbered, when as yet there was none of them. They were written down in the book. The future is bright for us. He said repeatedly, I'm going to finish what I've started in your life. What's his purpose in your life? Well, it all depends on how you... No, it doesn't. It all depends on him. And he said, I am going to make you like Christ. I'm going to conform you to the image of my son. In fact, I'm using all things. They're working together for good to those who love me, to those who are called according to my purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. That's where he's going to take us. And there's no contingencies. There's no, as long as you don't mess up or as I don't learn something about you that I didn't realize. No. Now, in man's work, that's the way we always think. So we have to really change our whole paradigm here to remember this. Because, you know, I brought a proposal to the elders recently, and one of them wisely said, well, have you thought of... And I said, good thought. And that's what happens in all kinds of situations, isn't it? And in fact, we rightfully, iron sharpens iron, we say, well, have you thought about this or have you thought about that? And we hash it over and we, because we're working with limited knowledge. And so we help each other. And the wise man submits his ideas to others to hear, what do you think of this? Well, have you thought of this? Have you thought of that? And the course of wisdom is to listen to that kind of input. But there are no what-ifs with God. I'm going to see my children safely home. I'm confident of this very thing, Paul wrote to the Philippians, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Oh, but Paul, you forgot that maybe, no, he didn't. He was confident and God had him write it down because there are no what ifs with God. He doesn't have to sort it out and say, oh yeah, I'm glad you reminded me. I didn't realize that. No. And people are saying that today, that God is kind of waiting to see what happens. He's kind of a fellow traveler with us. And he used to have all power, but he's kind of delegated it to us. And so we can be involved in this whole thing. And isn't that cool? No, it's not cool. If I could change God's purpose, if he didn't know what was happening, he couldn't tell me with certainty that Jesus Christ will be back and he'll make me like his son. If there were contingencies, if God didn't know all things. And you say, well, Scott, now are you talking about God's sovereignty or his omniscience? You can't separate them, can you? I've said that week after week. But that's why it's so good for us to just pause and think about the different aspects of who he is. Oh, the people who know their God will display strength and take action. The people who know their God will relax and enjoy him, will bask in his grace, will work for his kingdom, will labor for what counts, because we know who he really is. Oh, Christian, as we come around this table, enjoy that the omniscient one has purposed to glorify himself in and through his Son in the salvation of sinners. And as we look back at the cross, we look ahead to his return. And meanwhile, I don't know how we could do better than just close like the psalmist closed. Look at verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me. And lead me in the everlasting way. Oh, you can trust the omniscient one to lead you and guide you today, tomorrow. When it comes time to die, when it comes time to marry. I should have said that the other way around, huh? Some of you are saying, no, that's about right. You know, when it comes to the big decisions of life. Let's try that again. Whatever. We don't know what's around the next fork. We just don't know. You know, it was beautiful yesterday and somebody said, did you hear the forecast? And I quit listening to the forecast. Haven't you? I just wait and find out. Praise God, it's another beautiful day. But, you see, I don't know what's around the next bend. But he does. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. He will lead you in the everlasting way. Oh, Father, we praise you for this. We thank you that you know all about us. You know everything. And you sent your Son to redeem us from our sin. And as we come around the table now, I pray that you would increase our capacity to trust you. You're the omniscient one. Why would I ever question you? You know everything. And you've purposed with all your knowledge and all your wisdom to bless me and to bless all who call upon your name. And the great proof is when you sent your Son to the cross for us. And we praise you that he's coming back. So as we come around the table, Lord, right now, I'm just thankful that we can have communion with you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.